Welcome to Newsmakers. I am your host, Lisa Pugh. Republican legislators are pushing for an investment in law enforcement, citing increasing crime rates across Wisconsin and new challenges with recruitment and retention, leading to the lowest number of officers statewide in a decade. The package of bills, $25 million worth, including bonuses and other recruitment and retention supports, is being welcomed by police departments and criticized by Democrats. Here to talk about the situation and potential solutions is West Dallas Police Chief Pat Mitchell, also president of the Police Chiefs Association, as well as Republican Representative Alex Dolman of Green Lake. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Chief Mitchell, let's start with you. You have a 36-year career in law enforcement. You've seen a lot over the course of your career. What are these new challenges in recruitment and retention?
Yeah, so we certainly have seen, the last decade has seen recruiting for law enforcement to be a challenging time period. And it has gotten tremendously worse in the past 2 years. Really combined with recruitment is the ability to retain the folks that currently work here. And we are seeing retention issues at the same time. So it's really a double whammy, if you will, of not being able to have enough police officers serving to protect the citizens and the communities that we serve in. As for the root cause of it, it's a complex issue. Economics is certainly a part of it. There are other jobs that have always competed with law enforcement. But when you combine the economics with the environment that our country witnessed post George Floyd, it's made people think about, do they want to enter this profession? And it's also made people currently in the profession think about, do they want to stay? So it's been a rough 2 years.
You know, we have some data on the ratio of police to population in Wisconsin that I'd like to put up. It shows that really sharp decline of officers in Wisconsin over this last decade. I'd like to talk a little bit more about what we attribute that to. You mentioned the George Floyd protests and that, you know, how that impacts Wisconsin. Are there other reasons as well?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest change has certainly been the events in Minneapolis, the death, the homicide of George Floyd. That has cascaded in a protest movement, which is great. People should protest. They should tell their government what they expect. People have the right to expect a professional police department or sheriff's department, to expect polite police officers. So we have listened, and that we certainly understand that that's a part of the protest movement. But the message has sometimes been confused. I can tell you personally, I have witnessed a condemnation of an entire profession because of the actions of a relatively few amount of individuals. And we'd like the conversation to go back to individual responsibility and accountability. Certainly, if we have an individual officer that has done the wrong thing, we need to hold them accountable. That is what we do. And people should accept that because of the actions of one or a few, we are not all bad people. And that's kind of the message that some citizens gave to officers. Not all. I'm very clear when I say some. And one of the messages that we have for officers on a weekly basis, we know that we are supported by the overwhelming majority of the citizens that we serve, but there was a vacuum, and the overwhelming majority that we have was silent. So that is a driving issue right now in law enforcement.
You know, Republican legislators, as we started out the show with, are proposing some solutions to the recruitment and retention issues. I'd like to show a summary of the package of bills that was introduced just a couple of weeks ago, a variety of pieces of legislation to develop a marketing campaign, to increase reimbursement for training costs, requiring technical colleges to offer a part-time academy program, a matching grant for small agencies to support equipment and testing costs for part-time officers, bonuses to new officers. That's the largest piece of the package at about $14 million. Representative Dahlman, you're from Green Lake County. A lot of smaller law enforcement agencies kind of representing maybe what's happening in rural Wisconsin. What are you hearing on the ground from those agencies in your district?
Yeah, thanks again for Chief Mitchell coming on and giving us an opportunity to speak about the issues that we're facing in law enforcement across the state. And as you mentioned, I come from the 41st District, which is a very rural district, a lot of small departments. So one of the main bills in this package that I am the sponsor of is a matching grant bill, which would allow smaller agencies under 25 officers to be able to reimburse their officers for the cost of their equipment or their training or their testing that they need to have in order to come on board as an officer. Right now, a lot of our rural agencies are having a hard time attracting new officers into our rural communities, even though the crime rates are going up across the state and across the country. They're having a hard time because they're not often able to pay quite as much as an urban area, but also we're forcing these new officers to pay for the equipment before they come on. So we're asking them, the new officers, to pay to come work for us. And as a Republican caucus, we don't feel like that's appropriate, and we want to be able to back up our officers in any way we can and our local departments through different areas, just being able to find new recruits for these offices and for these departments, and for being able to just reimburse some of the training costs that have just skyrocketed, but the reimbursement has been held level.
You've both mentioned an increase in crime being part of the concern here, and we have some data showing the increase in violent crime. Certainly there's been a violent crime increase across the nation. Wisconsin's violent crime rate rose about 8% between 2019 and 2020. It's been increasing for the last decade, still pretty low nationally. Nationally, a one-year record in homicides from 2019 to 2020. That was certainly true in Milwaukee. I know Kenosha set a record in homicides in 2021. You know, some say our Wisconsin data can be really skewed by those larger urban centers. Is violent crime and an increase in violent crime really happening across Wisconsin in smaller, more rural areas? First to Chief Mitchell and then to Representative Dahlman.
It would depend on the city, town, or village, or county. You may have a different experience in different parts of the state. I can tell you, in my community in Milwaukee County, violent crime has been somewhat static, with the exception of homicide. Homicides have been up in West Dallas from a very small number to a also small number, but up nonetheless. You look at carjackings across the state. There are very communities that are traditionally viewed as being very safe that will periodically have carjackings occur in them. Very high profile carjacking in a community in the county just to the west of here, in which a senior citizen was victimized. It's gotten a lot of press coverage. So I think one of the things about violent crime that has citizens worrying is that violent crime traditionally would be in certain geographical areas, and I don't think that experience is necessarily holding true anymore.
Representative Dahlman, what does it look like in Green Lake County for violent crime rates?
Yeah, as we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years, violent crime has risen just a little bit, and up from 55 to 62 violent crime incidents over the last 3 years, but in Green Lake County. But what I'd like to piggyback off of with Chief Mitchell is that in my district, we have a lot of major highways running through. We have Highway 23 that runs through the core of the 41st District. We also have I-39, which runs north-south through my district. all throughout Portage and into Adams County, where we see a lot of the crime that is majority over the past happening in urban areas, stretching out through the interstate system into our rural communities, especially drug crime, and especially during the COVID times, we saw a lot of new black markets open up across our district, and it gave a lot of opportunity for the criminals to move out into other areas of the state, and they've been wreaking havoc on our rural communities. And once again, we just don't have the officers and the bodies to do it in our local departments. And it's also, we're not quite used to dealing with violent crimes such as this. So we need to be able to recruit and retain all the officers that we can to make sure that we're keeping our local communities safe.
You know, Representative Dolman, when you and I talked before this interview, you mentioned that Republicans had sat down with law enforcement agencies and tried to find out what would help. How did you come up with this set of proposals, the Technical College Academy, the matching grant for small agencies, the bonuses? How did those become the solutions?
Sitting down with the Chief of Police Association that Chief Mitchell's the head of, also the sheriff, the Badger State Sheriff's Association, and many others, we tried to look at ways where we can get officers on board. How can we retain and recruit new officers into our state? And we decided, first off, we have places like Minneapolis who are running Defund the Police campaigns. How can we attract members of that police force into our state? And we thought maybe bonuses for out-of-state members, where we could give a $5,000 bonus to any new officer that wants to join our police forces across the state, and up to $5,000 more depending on years of service that you have in law enforcement already. I think that's a huge, huge bonus for members to come into our state or to attract new police officers. Another thing we're seeing, especially in our rural areas, is we have a lot of part-time officers that would be willing to help out, but they just can't go to the academy day in and day out. They already have a full-time job. They already are raising a family. And we just thought we need to make other opportunities in our technical schools to be able to go part-time on the weekends or at night, not just every day during the day for 5 days a week. We need to make other opportunities available for people to enter our workforce, or our workforce and police force. So working with the police association, we decided that these are some of the main areas where we can make a difference, and we decided to move forward with it.
Chief Mitchell, one of the largest bills in this package is this $14 million going toward a variety of bonuses. As Representative Dolman mentioned, bonuses for out-of-state recruitment, bonuses for new recruits, and then some matching and required bonuses for existing officers and experienced officers. You know, there are so many areas of our workforce, so many sectors, healthcare, retail, you know, other small businesses that are really hurting right now for workers. Why should law enforcement be prioritized with these initiatives and these dollars over other sectors?
Yeah, I think it goes back to safety. If a community and the citizens of that community cannot feel safe, that community will not prosper in any circumstance whatsoever. Safety can be a driver and is a driver of economic vitality. I can show you neighborhood after neighborhood where if business owners don't feel safe in conducting business, they will not conduct business there. So if we want a strong economy in the state of Wisconsin, a huge part of that strong economy is allowing citizens to feel safe. And law enforcement, of course, is a huge part of that. Not the only part, but a big part of it.
Will a one-time investment in bonuses be the magic pill to getting and keeping more officers?
So it certainly, in my mind, would help us recruit more than retaining. So police officers that are currently employed in the profession, they simply want to work in a city and for a department that publicly supports them. So one of the things I've said in the past, you look at a bonus, let's say that the bill is modified. Let's say that it's not a $2,000 bonus, it's a $500 bonus. The money itself is really not likely going to keep someone in the profession, but the public support that comes with that money is what the officers in this state are craving. It is a public demonstration from the state of Wisconsin and a local employer that they value the officers and that they're willing to give them a bonus because of it. Now, recruiting is completely different. Many, many private sector entities are using bonuses to recruit right now, and government is no different. If we want someone, highly qualified, competent people to come in and help us, a bonus will go a long way towards helping them choose us instead of someone else or another state.
You know, Representative Dahlman, this package of bills has its critics, in part because of the way it's funded. So it's funded with this one-time COVID recovery dollars, and those are monies that the governor has control over and has in many ways already allocated. I want to read a quote from Democratic Minority Leader Gordon Hintz. He says, Republicans are proposing using one-time COVID funds to fund local law enforcement at roughly half the amount Governor Evers proposed since he was elected in 2018 and that Republicans voted against. Despite the longest running economic expansion in US history from June 2009 to February 2020, state funding for local law enforcement has declined under Republican control. Representative Dahlman, a reaction to that?
Well, first off, I'd say Gordon Hintz is no longer the minority leader. He stepped down in that role, but he might've been at the point where he said those comments. But I would just answer with, we need to guarantee that this money is going to police officers and the departments themselves. If we raise shared revenue, or if we put more funding just straight into shared revenue, it doesn't guarantee that this is getting into the department's coffers. We need to make sure that this one-time funding, we can act a lot of these programs as pilot programs, and if they are successful and we see different arise in the population of officers in our districts and state, we'd be able to come back in with GPR and refund these programs if they prove successful. But until then, I believe this is a very good allocation of our ARPA dollars and our federal funds to make sure that we can try this out, because we all know COVID has made a huge impact on the mental health across our state, a rise in crime. We need to make sure that funding, although the governor says he's allocated it, that's a lot different than having spent it. So we need to make sure that we're focusing and prioritizing these funds into the areas that will benefit our state. And as Chief Mitchell mentioned, I mean, safety is a huge factor when we deal with all economics, labor shortages, everything. If we have safe communities, that is a huge driver in bringing people to our state to live and work, and to also come in for tourism. If we don't have safe schools, don't have safe communities, we have people that will not be willing to live here.
In November, Attorney General Call announced a $115 million Safer Wisconsin plan that also includes some investments in law enforcement, community policing, violence prevention, victim services, crisis response teams, substance use supports, as well as funding for law enforcement training. The package has not publicly received Republican support. Why not?
I would say that this package has a lot of different bills in there that are contrary to what we believe in. Red flag laws go against our Second Amendment rights right off the bat. We need to be smarter with this. There's obviously investments that we can come by in bipartisan nature, mental health awareness, victim protections. But I believe the chief could probably speak to this a little bit more when it comes to community policing and what he sees in his own role and how different aspects of the philosophy of policing works in our state.
Yeah, Chief Mitchell, please do respond about Attorney General Call's package does include community policing, victim services, and training and recruitment efforts for officers. Are there some things in that package that police chiefs like?
So we are obviously a part of the criminal justice system. So if there is additional or new monies to support victims of crime, that would be something that the Chiefs Association would always be in favor of. There already is large sums of money that are going to violence interrupters and things of that sort in various communities. But that is really down the path of we need the police to do less. And I am certainly open to the police doing less as long as it's based in actual data as opposed to a feeling that it might work or it could work. So we're certainly open to having conversations with the Attorney General about the entire package. I know that there is a request in there for mental health awareness for law enforcement officers. That's a critical need, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but throughout the entire country. We would welcome the opportunity to talk about things like that. Training funds is another thing.
This morning, the Assembly Democrats announced a package of bills that includes some of Attorney General's initiatives as well. Representative Dahlman, you mentioned bipartisanship here. Do you think there is room for bipartisanship on these issues? And would you and your colleagues be willing to lead investments in the next biennial budget in this area for longer term solutions?
Yeah, I believe so. And once again, we'd love to see these ARPA dollars go into some of these pilot programs, like I mentioned. And if they prove successful, we'd love to come back into the budget and refund these programs. So we need to prioritize the public safety and our law enforcement in this state. There's bills in the Democrat package and also the Republican package that I think should be bipartisan. But right now we see that there's no Democrats really signed on to our package either, which is unfortunate just because of the stream of funding that we're talking about. We shouldn't be looking at where the funding is coming from. We should be looking at the philosophy and what priorities we're going to give to our law enforcement officers across the state. They deserve to be put up on a pedestal. They go out every single day and protect us and keep our communities safe. And we need to show them and support them by giving them much needed funding and recruitment efforts.
So your response to that Democratic criticism about past opportunities to provide more monies to communities and counties for law enforcement?
So they say we have passed on past opportunities, but they're constantly referring to the shared revenue source. And once again, I'll touch on this again. Shared revenue does not mean the money is going to be going to the police force and to our departments. We need to make sure that this money is allocated specifically for our police officers and for our sheriff's departments across the state. And these bills on the Republican package would do that.
Chief Mitchell, you mentioned the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and then we know, of course, the shooting of Jacob Blake by an officer in Kenosha. Both of those incidents and the following, protests and riots contributed to a lack of community trust. How do communities heal from that?
Yeah, so communities heal from that by what we do each and every day. Every officer of every department in the state and every interaction with every citizen has an opportunity to make a positive impact or, in very small circumstances, a negative impact. I'm a firm believer that even on a difficult day, we go into your home, you've done something that's contrary to the law, we have to arrest you. There's a way that we can arrest you and still have a good relationship with you, if you're willing, upon the conclusion of that arrest. So I really look at both sides have to be willing to learn and listen from one another. And we have to work on this day in and day out. You can't work on it in times of crisis. When you've got, a crisis going on in Minneapolis or in Kenosha or any other city such as Portland or Seattle, the time to work on that crisis is well in advance of that crisis. Day in and day out, we have to work on great relationships.
In particular, I think we've learned a lot about how communities of color feel about law enforcement and really that crisis of trust there. Representative Dahlman, do you see this package of legislation kind of supporting improvements with that relationship between law enforcement and community of color too?
I believe it does. I believe, as Chief Mitchell mentioned, the vast, vast majority of our police officers are good people who love everybody. And we want to have what's best for our communities, and we want to keep all of our community members safe. And we want to have a decrease in all crime across the board. And I believe that's what they do each and every day. And when there is bad players, I know for a fact that our police officers hold each other accountable, and our departments hold those bad actors accountable too. And we just can't go out there and then every time something bad happens, we we convict a police officer before the rule of law is served. And we need to be able to step back, not react so quickly when these issues arise. And we need to make sure that we stick together as a community, both with the law enforcement and community members in general, so that we can get to the conclusion in a more timely manner.
Chief Mitchell, one issue that's come up in this discussion of recruitment and retention has been retirements of experienced officers and resignations. I think I saw a research form survey or showing a 45% increase in the retirement rate and a 20% increase in resignation before reaching retirement age. What is that about?
Yeah, so that is a new phenomenon in our profession. In my decades of experience, there is always going to be an individual here or there that at the 10-year mark in law enforcement says, I'm going to go and try something else. The number of people that we see doing that, I've never seen it higher in my profession. So police officers and sheriff's deputies are really not any different than anyone else. Yes, money that they make at work is important, but it's not the driving factor. The driving factor is, do they feel fulfillment at work? Do they find value in the work that they do? And do they feel supported? In the case of private sector, do you feel supported by your boss? And in the case of government, not only do you feel supported by your boss, but do you feel supported by the citizens that you serve? I would argue the most important thing is fulfillment at work. So if you work in a community that is publicly saying they don't support you, if the elected leaders of your community are publicly condemning you, would you want to work there? There are many, many people that don't, and they will go find something else to do where they can feel an equal amount of value in what they do for a living and not have to deal with being condemned merely because they put on a uniform to go to work. That's a huge part of it. I've had people in my department that said, I'm gonna leave. Don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm not doing this. And that is rare. Used to be rare, not rare anymore. And it's sad.
Representative Dahlman, do you see police issues as a major focal point in fall 2022 elections? And if so, why?
Absolutely. I think it played a big role in our 2016 campaign, our presidential campaign, and also in the last presidential election as well. We really have seen a rise in violent crime across this country. We've seen a rise in carjackings into our suburban areas and also into our rural areas. We need to be able to prove to the citizens of the state that we're willing to stand up and keep you safe. And that is to fully fund and to show our law enforcement and our authority some respect and some gratitude that they deserve. And right now, as Chief Mitchell mentioned, the top elected officials in our state have condemned police across our state, and also the top officials in our country have ridiculed our police force over and over again in many different instances. And we need to be able to provide that support. Because right now we see 77% of a recent survey I just saw, 77% of people want to see more street patrols. They want to see an increase in police department budgets. They want to see the safety come into their local communities. And I believe in this campaign, it should be a priority. And I know the Republicans will make it a priority to make this safety come for the local communities that we serve.
Chief Mitchell, one last question. How do we achieve bipartisan support to move law enforcement forward and community trust forward?
Yeah, so we in law enforcement view public safety as a bipartisan issue. It's not one side or the other side. Public safety benefits everyone. So we would just like to see bipartisan support. Don't care which side proposes a bill. We look at the bill and will it benefit the communities that we serve? And if the answer to that is yes, we will support that bill. So we'd love to see bipartisan support.
Well, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make an impact on our state and all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.